Welcome to another edition of the award-winning podcast, The Square and the Round. I'm Chris Kelly. I'm square. There's BB Shea. He's round.
What's going on?
Look less round to me today. Look like you've lost some weight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. You trying that?
I'm trying a little bit. Walking, getting a little bit more exercise in, trying to eat better. Are you just saying that?
No, I noticed it. So you just sat back a minute ago. You were complaining about something.
Yeah.
And right before we started taping here, yeah. And as soon as you leaned back, I was like, well, he looks less jowly. I love it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you saying that.
It's good. It's really good.
It's slow, but I'm working on it. So,
we're doing something today just to tease our top five.
Yeah.
I really like this. Top five stand-up comedians of all time. And the reason is we've been around some stand-up comedians lately.
Yes.
We've done a comedy all-star show, and we've been on, four legs of it now.
Getting ready to be the last.
Boy, I don't know how stand-up comedians do it.
They are some of the toughest people in the industry. They are tough road warriors, man.
I mean, we go out of these shows, and we've done some out of town, some in town, and they're Friday nights, and they end like 9:30 or 10 o'clock, which doesn't seem... I mean, I am falling into bed.
I'm struggling, dude.
Oh, me
Yesterday
too.
Was rough for me. Yeah.
Because it was the day after a couple of these shows, and these were local. Now we're traveling here in a week or so to, you know, 3-5 hour drives away. And I will struggle greatly. And these comedians, their life is like driving from one town to the next.
Yeah.
And then, eating a lot of fast food and never know really where they are and doing that act over and over
and over. You really got to love it, man.
You do.
And they're pros.
They grind away. They're great. They're
great,
very
fantastic
funny
dudes.
Guys.
Yes.
And these are guys, you know something else, and we're going to do the top five comedians of all time in our minds. I talked to a comedian probably 4 or 5 years ago. She was great. And she reminded me of Amy Schumer.
Okay.
And so I said to her backstage, like, you're as funny to me as Amy Schumer. And you have that kind of delivery and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are you not a household name and why is she? And she said, it's all about who sees you. That's all it is. You know, it's like if you are lucky enough to have somebody in a comedy show club one night see you and go, okay, I'm going to put you on The Tonight Show or Netflix or whatever, then that makes your whole career.
And, you know, that really puts into perspective of how much unfound talent is actually out there.
Yeah.
I mean, think about people who are just naturally talented that don't get a big break.
Exactly.
Or, you know, just don't have that opportunity that other people have.
It happens.
You know?
Do you think if every celebrity, like if you take the top 100 celebrities, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, you know, on and on, the greatest comedians, the greatest actors, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio or whatever, if they all just had never made it, do you think we'd have just as good actors and singers?
Absolutely, yes.
Me too.
Well, here's the thing about, you know, celebrities is I bet if you could ask any celebrity, they know somebody who's just as or better than they are, 10 times better than they are, but they just never made it, yes. I don't think there's a lack of talent, but there's just a lack of opportunity for some people.
But there is more opportunity now because can be on YouTube or podcast or whatever, you know, make your own way.
True.
Isn't it... I mean, there are singers that just go big on TikTok or whatever and become big names. Even things like American Idol made Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood.
They're stars.
Imagine if there was never American Idol, would Carrie Underwood even exist?
I don't think she'd be a
That's crazy.
I don't think Kelly Clarkson would be that if she hadn't been on American Idol.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, really.
And you know what's wild, though? The fact that they've had over almost 25 seasons of that show, how many people have actually, like, taken advantage and really blown up?
Yeah, of all the years of American Idol, I can name probably 5 or 6 people that are really big.
But what's also funny is I feel like there are more cases of people who didn't win that have had better careers of those who did win.
I agree.
Like Jennifer Hudson didn't win.
Huge.
And there's other, I can't even
Daughtry.
Think of it. Yeah, Daughtry had a great run for a while.
And Jennifer Hudson is one of the worst actresses I've ever seen in my life. She is so bad, and she owns an Oscar.
She does.
For
Dreamgirls.
Dreamgirls. Did you see that?
Never saw it, no.
It's pretty good. She can sing. I mean, she can sing beautifully.
Was that the reason why she won? Just because
I think
she could sing?
Because anytime she spoke lines, it was like, this is awful.
What's
I mean, she's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it made me say once, I think I'm going to take this back, but I said to a friend of mine like makes short movies, horror movies and stuff. And I said, you know, I don't think acting is that hard. And he goes, how can you possibly say that? Some of these great actors. And I said, because Jennifer Hudson owns an Academy Award. She's an awful actress. How can it be that hard?
Yeah.
She's a person who just came off the streets, can sing like a bird. I mean, a great singer. Goes on to American Idol, doesn't win it. Not an actress at all.
No.
Gets cast in a movie like Dreamgirls. It gets nominated for not just a movie. I mean, she's nominated and wins an Academy Award. It's the same thing as a guy who shoots baskets in his driveway, not just becoming a basketball player, but in one day being the star for the Los Angeles Lakers.
True. That's the you're 100% right.
And you can't
right.
do that.
No, you cannot do that.
There's no way anybody can do that, but an actor or actress can do that. Yes. I don't know how. I don't know from what, because they just come from nowhere. How is that?
That is a great point.
I don't know how they do that. Yeah. She's terrible. She's a terrible actress.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, sometimes you see actors and actresses that are not very good who win stuff. But then, like, I saw this movie once with Kirk Cameron. You know Kirk Cameron?
Yeah, Candace's brother.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a heartthrob for girls when I was a teenager. And all these girls had they loved Kirk Cameron. Yeah. Well, then he went very, very religious. And he made this religious movie with the people at his church.
Left Behind, right?
Something like that.
He had a whole series of Left Behind movies.
Maybe he's in that. Like, he's in that. But this is a different one. But he is in that. Yeah. This was about a guy who was going the wrong direction, and he was cheating on his wife and watching porn and stuff.
Yeah.
And my wife made us go see it. I don't know why she did that. We'd been married like 8 or 9 years. And she made us go see it.
We could learn something from this.
I said, why are we wanting? Come on. And she said, no. She had some friends who were like big into the church. And they, all right. So we went to, and the movie, he is by far, he's like Laurence Olivier compared to everybody else in the movie. Everybody else in the movie are people from his church.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, they can't act at all. But so there is a difference. You know, there's guys who try it and are terrible actors, but they're just from church. So, it's hard to know how much talent there is out there.
That is a good point,
Because sometimes you see it, and sometimes you'll see, like, dinner theater or whatever. They're okay, but they're not exactly great, you know. Yeah. Then again, when I see plays that are, like, I see them on Broadway and you see them here in town, like at the traveling show, traveling show's just as good.
They're just as great,
I know.
And those people aren't as near as big as, like, someone like Lin-Manuel Miranda or whoever. Yeah.
That's a good from Hamilton. Did you see Hamilton?
Never saw Hamilton, no. I'm not a play guy. I'm not a musical guy.
You ought to see Hamilton.
I hear that it's great, and I would probably like it, but isn't it like 4.5 hours?
It's about two. That's almost three, I think.
Okay, but
it's not horrible. It's like 2:45. Hamilton is on, what is it, Apple TV Plus or Disney Plus?
Disney Plus, maybe. Yeah.
Well, that's where I saw it. I saw, which was nice because you could pause it and watch it in two and stuff. I was transfixed by it. And for a while, I was like, I don't care about this. As soon as I started it, I was like, oh, this is incredible. You know, the whole thing is because I had heard about it. It's like, you know, guys who are Hispanic or black guys are playing noted historical
founding fathers
figures. Yeah. So I made my son watch it. And, you know, their characters in it are Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, James Madison, all these huge stories. And they're all played by either Hispanic or black guys. Mm-hmm. And so we're watching, my son's watching, and we get about 2 hours into it. And my son, who you know is not, sometimes he didn't catch on to things very well. He says, like, George Washington has this long piece and soliloquy. Yeah. And my son says, pause it. So I pause and he goes, wait, is that George Washington? I said, yeah. He goes, that's a black dude. I said, yeah, that's the whole point. That's the whole point.
It's a reimagining,
Yes, that's what's so great about it. Yeah. Now, when I think of George Washington, I think of the black guy. I do. That's who I've got pictures. That's how good it is. That's how great that is. Wow. And I said to my son, how are you going to college?
What's going on, dude?
How is he going to college? But he is. He's there.
I tried to get into it. You know, fortunately, we get opportunities to go see plays. And I went to go see Rent.
Oh, my God.
I feel like you were there, too.
Oh, my God. Rent is the worst thing.
It was terrible.
It's so awful.
And all I heard growing up was how great it was and how revolutionary it was. And I almost fell asleep, dude.
It's awful.
And it was nothing against the campaign or anything. It was the story, which is not relatable at all.
I couldn't follow it.
And it was terrible.
I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Now, it was an AIDS thing, which I get.
Yeah,
terrible. But I didn't know who was who. I didn't know who was dying. It was so
Scattered and just paced terribly.
There's a story about who is the woman, Mayim Bialik. You know who she is?
Yeah, she was in Blossom.
Yeah, she was Blossom. Yeah. She hosted Jeopardy there for a minute and they got rid of her. She's been in a lot of shows, actually. She was in Third Rock from the Sun.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. She was in Big Bang Theory.
Yes, yeah.
So she's good friends with Neil Patrick Harris. Mm-hmm. And Neil Patrick Harris, and she told him, I hate musicals because, and she told everybody, she hates musicals because it's totally unnatural. I mean, you're sitting there talking and all of a sudden you start singing. Like, you know, like you and I would be sitting here and just start singing.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe we should do that sometime. Yeah.
It might pick up the ratings. I don't know. I'm not that
musical podcast. Yeah.
I mean, I was in Glee Club when I was younger, but that's beside the point. Yeah. Anyway, and we'd studied musicals and stuff. And so I don't mind them so much, but she's like, I hate them. I don't understand them. It's nonsensical to me that people would just be sitting there chatting and then all of a sudden start singing. So he invites her to go see him in Rent. He is the lead in Rent.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Who was Doogie Howser and now has been on
How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. He's a big star. Yeah. He's been in a lot of stuff. So she goes. She's got front row seats and everything. She hates it. She hates every second of it.
Yeah.
At the end, the cast comes out. They give a standing ovation. She's remained seated. She said, I politely clapped, but I remained seated because I hate the whole concept and I hated that show. So Neil Patrick Harris, she's right on the front row. He sees this. And later, he doesn't speak to her for like 20 years. They literally did not speak for, I mean, like 15 or 20 years because he was so mad at her for not standing up for Rent. I wouldn't go see Rent now. No.
I don't blame her for not standing up. I don't feel like you should be peer pressured into giving a standing ovation.
No, I agree.
I hate when that happens.
Do you know what I did one time? Now, this has been a few years ago. We have a place here, really, really nice theater, Tanger Center is what it's called.
Yeah.
Really great. And they give us free tickets to the shows.
Beautiful place.
Sometimes they give us, and it's very, I've seen multiple great musicals there. Well, one time, it's a Tuesday night, okay? This is a while back. And I've never told anyone this before, so this is really, I'm really breaking ground here.
All right.
So it's a Tuesday night, and I have to get up early for my job. Uh-huh. So my wife and I, the show is scheduled to start at 7:30. And we got there at 7 o'clock, got the ticket. That's a free show, okay? Get the tickets and everything. Go to, it's like 7:15. We've had a little drink in the lobby, something. So we go to the door to go in, and they hold us. They said, we're not seating yet. Well, 7:15. And I said, really? And they said, well, the show starts at 8, not 7:30. So I say to my wife, let's go home.
We got to go. We got to go.
Let's go home. So she says, we really can't do that. These are free tickets. And I said, I know, but I mean, this is going to take me out till midnight. And we've got to go. And I mean, they're very nice to have given us the tickets, but we're going to have to go. So we sneak out the side door to leave. And my wife says, I'll create a diversion. I said, you don't have to create a diversion. We'll just walk out and leave.
Yeah.
So as we get to the car, there's a guy in the middle of the road, like he's fixing traffic or whatever. He says, hey, man, where are you going? I was like, hey, had an emergency. Had a family emergency. So we leave. The next day, everybody's seen the show. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And they were like, where were you last night? Because it's always the same group.
Yeah.
And I said, man, they set me on the whole other side of the arena. And they were like, you weren't orchestra right? I was like, man, I was orchestra left. I didn't see any of y'all.
Yeah.
They were like, what? And then the guy who organized that is like, I'm going to call her and see. And I said, no.
It's all good.
I love the show. Yeah. And they were like, what did you think of when the main character? I was like, oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I said, the leads were brilliant.
Couldn't have
such
been
a liar.
Better.
Such a liar. I wasn't even there. I mean, it'd be one thing to leave an intermission at halftime, but we
before
left
the show
before
even started.
The show even began. Walked in a door, walked out the other door within 10 minutes. I mean, that quickly, we were gone. Isn't that crazy?
I don't feel like you should have had to give an excuse. Like, listen, no.
Yeah.
Too late.
Yeah.
You know how what time I got to wake up in the morning?
Yeah, plus it started. I mean, 7:30 was a push. Now it's going to be 8 o'clock, and it's like a 3.5-hour show.
Yeah,
I
dude.
Like,
I don't know. That's rough,
gets
man.
Me home at midnight. But my wife, the problem is my wife loves the shows.
Yeah.
And, they offer us nice tickets, which is really nice. And I've been to many.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite one there was about The Temptations. That was a great show.
That's
did you see
right.
that show?
No, I didn't see that one. I think I saw Mean Girls.
That was good.
Yeah, Mean Girls was great. And
they
then
always
Rent
put on good
was
shows.
Just unfortunate.
What was that? Oh,
Rent.
Oh, yeah, Rent.
It's not good. And I'm like I'll be out, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
I'm just not a big musical,
not a musical
theater
person.
Guy, you know?
Do you like plays without music?
I don't think I've ever seen a play.
It's mostly musicals, isn't
it?
Yeah.
I would like to see a play with like really good acting.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been to New York and seen some stuff, and usually when I see it, even in New York, it's like, oh, it's just not my cup of tea. It's okay. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. I saw Phantom of the Opera. That was very good.
Because I think To Kill a Mockingbird is coming. I'd like to go see that.
Yeah.
Just stage acting I'd love to see.
I've never read or seen any incarnation of To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't know what that's about.
Same. I have no clue.
You don't know any clue.
No clue.
People,
no clue whatsoever.
People are shocked by that.
Yeah.
I mean, people will say like Boo Radley. I don't even know. I don't know if that's the... I don't know what that is.
I know the name Atticus Finch. Is that some way related?
Atticus Finch, I believe, is played by, I want to say, is it Gregory Peck or Jimmy Stewart in
something
the movie?
Something like that, yeah.
Yep. And he's the main guy, and I think Boo Radley is like a child, but that's all I know.
And it may be like courtroom related. somehow?
I think it might be.
That's all I know, though.
Yeah, me too. That'd be a good one to see.
It doesn't Boo Radley have an apple tree? I don't know.
Some sort of tree?
Something like that?
I should read it is what I should do, but I don't. I'm not. And you and I just have this conversation about I'm listening to a book on tape right now. And we both agree that if you listen to a book, you have not read the
same,
book.
Dude.
You have not read the book.
No, if you haven't turned the pages and almost fought through sleep to get through a book, then it's not the same.
Right, because to me, and when you and I talked about this, I thought, okay, this is the same as if you go see a movie and somebody says, have you read the screenplay? You could say yes. Because you've heard it and seen it, okay?
Yeah.
But you really haven't read the screenplay.
No, it's not the same.
So
no.
When you're listening to a book on tape, that is not reading the book.
It's too easy.
I agree.
It's like listening to music. It's too easy. No, you've got.
Yeah, you haven't sung music.
You haven't read the music.
You've heard the music, right? I've heard the book. I haven't read the book.
Yeah.
What's on your mind today? Before we get to the top five comedians,
you know what's funny? I wanted to bring this up to you. I heard this theory. This is completely off topic. Mm. I thought about this the other day, and it completely just warped my mind. Mm. I heard about this new theory about life and death.
Yes.
And I want to know. I want to get your take on this and what you think about it. Somebody told me, or I heard, that when you die, you're immediately born somewhere else to somebody else.
Right.
As soon as you die, you become a baby.
Yep.
And the reason that you're crying when you come out is because you just died, and you can't conceptualize why you just died or just died.
How deep?
And déjà vu.
Is
memories from a past life.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either, but just the idea of that really kind of messed me up a little bit.
It would really be something, wouldn't it?
Like, because I think about the fact that one day maybe I'll be in like second grade again.
Mm-hmm. Or what if you're born somewhere like China or India or some terrible place?
Completely,
you know?
Other place.
Yeah, it would be awful.
Yeah.
That'd be awful. Especially if you had some memory of, but you have no memory of it. You know? But then you could live a really bad life.
Exactly.
You know? That would be terrible.
Or you could end up being a really good life.
Well,
you could
right.
be like Jennifer Hudson and win an Academy
Award
or something
for
like
doing
that.
Nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. But just the idea of like being reincarnated immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stuff like that just really boggles my mind. The thought
I do
of that.
Not buy that, but I have thought of that same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think the numbers work out quite right.
Because true.
It's
people
like
are just dying and being
the
born
population
constantly.
Keeps going up. So so how does that happen?
Yeah.
If, you know, if it's it would remain the same all the time. So one death, one birth, one death, one. But it's not that way.
Do you believe in like heaven and stuff like that?
I do. Yeah. I do believe in that.
Same.
I believe in heaven. I believe in hell, but I'm trying desperately to avoid it. I don't know. I'm afraid.
I think you're good. I think you really got to mess up to go to hell.
I hope that's right.
I think you really got to mess up.
Like kill somebody.
Exactly.
Or, yeah. But I
feel like you can be saved after that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You should see a movie called Defending Your Life. You ever seen it?
Never heard of it. No.
Yeah. You should really watch that by next week. That's how good it is. It's got Albert Brooks. It's got the woman who wins all the Oscars. Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
And it's really, really funny. And here's what the plot is. This, I believe it was probably early 90s. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
91 or so. Guy dies. And what happens is, instead of going to heaven, you go to like an in-between where you have to defend your life. And they look at like 7 days in your life and things you've done.
Yeah.
And you have like a lawyer, and he's trying to get you through to heaven. Most people go back. And to be reincarnated. Some get through to heaven and some go back. And so he is defending the choices he's made. Hilarious. And also, I wish it was that way.
What a great concept.
It was a great concept for a movie. And he meets Meryl Streep while they're up in this area. I think you'd really like it.
Do you have like a big, I'm making it to heaven moment?
Yeah. They send you through. They put you on like, it's like a subway, like a bus that takes you to heaven.
No,
and,
like you personally. And you're
me.
Like, you have like a, I'm definitely, you know, like I did this one good thing one time that like,
no,
that you could think of.
I've never done one good thing that I can think of, but I've never done anything really,
true,
really
like,
bad.
Yeah, I mean, like the worst thing you've like.
The worst. I stole a dime from a little girl when I was a kid, and her mother came over and said, "If you don't give that dime back, you're going to hell." And I'd already thrown it away. I got rid of it, like get rid of the evidence.
Yeah, but past that, you've got years of good deeds.
Do
you like pay it forward in the drive-through lane sometimes?
Never. No, it ends with
me.
Whenever it ends with me. Have I ever given anything? I've given a little to charity.
Okay.
There's that. Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm right on the I may be teetering on the brink here. I mean, I have given
to
charity.
You have to do some real defending one day.
Yeah, maybe. I have given to charity, but I would hate to be in defending your life and have to defend. They take a look at like 7 days of your life and say, here's what you've done.
Yeah.
and you're trying to overcome your fears and conquer the things you've got to get through. I'm telling you, I think you'd really, really like
I'll have to check that out.
Now, as we mentioned, we've been doing part of comedy shows lately where there are comedians, and we've been on tour with them. And they're great. They're very funny. Mm-hmm. Guys you would not have heard of. They're not household names.
Yeah.
So the reason we did the top five today of top five great stand-up comedians, because of that, we've been
around.
Which
has been in that area recently.
Yeah, I've been in that area recently. So do you have your number? Let me say, there's a one guy. Oh, I thought he may be on your list. I thought Robin Williams was really overrated as a comedian.
I agree.
I don't think he's that funny.
Yeah, he was a little too...
frantic.
Spastic. I was going to say spastic. Yeah, just
all over the place.
All that.
And I think he was ad-libbing a lot of it. Now, sometimes he made me really laugh.
Yeah.
But he was so all over the place, and he was on cocaine.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that really showed. And so he's the one I think is most overrated of all, as far as a stand-up. Now, I liked a lot of his movies.
Yeah. No, his like comedic and even dramatic acting was great.
Yeah. And you know I can't stand Adam Sandler.
Sure.
So I don't even know if he does stand-up, I guess.
I know he did at one point, but definitely not known for that. Yeah, I was thinking about like mainly people just known for stand-up.
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's what I did too. Yeah. Who are your top
five? So my number five is a guy who just kind of popped recently. His name's Shane Gillis.
I don't know him.
I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
I don't know him.
Got a very funny story about Shane Gillis. So he was fired. He was hired by SNL and fired by SNL before he even was on the show.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And past that, he's had a great blow up over the past couple years. Funny thing, this coming weekend, he's hosting SNL.
Even though he was fired.
Even though he was fired for getting, he got canceled because people went back and saw old podcasts of him doing some not so savory or things, you know, talking about things. He did like an Asian accent and people got mad about it, right? So he got fired.
Somebody else told me about him.
Yes.
He told me he did like some 9/11 jokes and stuff. Was it 9/11 jokes he did? Yeah, I'm getting a nod on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did an Asian accent, so he got canceled.
So he got canceled and then fired. But has blown up ever since, done great specials.
Yeah.
And now he's hosting Saturday Night Live this coming weekend.
Well.
He's very funny, dude. He's I think he's one of the best right now.
Really?
Comedians, yes.
Gillis.
Yes.
I've heard the second person to tell me that.
Yeah.
I've never heard him, though. I don't know. Yeah. Now, I put it number five, and I hear he's the best ever, but I don't know him that well. And what I've seen is phenomenal, is Richard Pryor.
Okay.
Who died young.
Yeah.
But was not afraid to go there, like, with his drug use and his... At one point, he got burned really badly because he was trying to freebase.
Yeah,
he was freebasing cocaine.
Yeah.
And he made that into comedy. And I thought, well, that's pretty fun. I mean, he was great, but I don't know him that well. I'd probably put him higher if I did.
See, I'm in the same boat. Like, I know his impact and I know how, you know, inspirational he was to people in comedy.
Yeah.
So, but I just never got into him that much.
Yeah.
And I bet he is hilarious.
Well, and you know, honestly, I would put, I don't have him on my list, I'd probably tie him with Bill Cosby.
Okay.
I saw Bill Cosby do Bill Cosby himself in the mid-80s, and it was the funniest stand-up I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But of course, now, can you say that?
I mean, sure.
I mean, he was very, very funny.
Yeah, you can say
but
that.
But he was bad behind that. And he would do it real clean. You know, he worked real clean. But if you ever saw Bill Cosby himself, he's sitting on a stool or a chair and just talks, you know, for 2 hours. And it's hilarious. I mean, that's a real gift.
Yeah.
That was an HBO special before there were HBO specials.
I mean,
specials.
You know, he was one of those dudes just like Pryor, just beloved by everybody, you know, comedically. I mean, like, it's unfortunate what ended up happening and the decisions that he made. But, I mean, I don't think it's a problem to say that, he's a great comedian.
He was a phenomenal stand-up comedian.
I know it's kind of weird praising people who did terrible things.
I know.
But
what is your number four?
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Listen, man. Is he on your list?
Number two.
Wow.
I saw Eddie Murphy in, is it Raw? The first one he did. He's in a red leather suit.
Yeah.
And I was about 13. My father made us turn it off because it was so vulgar. My friend Brian Thomas and I were watching it and just laughing away. And my father just came out of his bedroom and turned off the TV.
Yeah.
And was like, that, you can't watch that. It was really vulgar.
Yeah.
But I think he just blew the doors off. I mean, just everything.
Yes.
Everything changed after that.
My dad, when we were younger, he had like a greatest hit CD of his bits. And we wore that thing out. The ice cream man bit.
Yes.
The drunk father bit.
Yes.
His ability to tell a story, it was just incredible.
But
man.
Now he did a lot of gay jokes on that.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, he did.
Has apologized later.
Yes, yeah.
It's just like what's accepted 40 years ago versus what's accepted now. He's like, now I wish I had never done that. It's like, well, that's what was done at the time. It wasn't right.
Yeah.
But at the time, we all just were dying laughing at that. I mean, just could not stop laughing at it.
Like, and who was bigger than Eddie Murphy? Man?
Nobody.
Even like.
And a young. Talking about Saturday Night Live at age like 19.
18. Yeah, something like
I think
that,
he saved Saturday Night Live. They had a terrible season or two, but he carried it. And he was the only reason it stayed around. Yeah. And now Saturday Night Live's been on for 50 years almost.
Apparently there was some weird like story about Eddie Murphy when he was a kid that like his parents took him to a psychic or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were like, oh, your son's going to be a celebrity.
Really?
And apparently there was a lot of like lore around his family just being having terrible luck. And then, like, he came around and just, like, saved his whole family and stuff like that.
Sure did it.
So, I mean, and it's still huge. I mean, like, the fact that he doesn't even work that much anymore.
Oh, no, you never see him.
And it's still huge. He was in Dreamgirls, yeah.
He's in that movie I haven't seen that everybody loves. What's the one I haven't seen that everybody loves? Coming to America. I have not seen it.
They're showing it at the theater right up the street.
Are they really?
On Wednesday night, yeah.
Well, maybe
the one we were just at.
Yeah. Maybe I should go there.
You should go see it.
Now, my number four was Jim Gaffigan, who I love.
Okay.
I think he's hilarious. Yeah, he's new and okay, he's just common. But he talks about his family. I just laugh when I see him. I love Jim Gaffigan.
I hate Jim Gaffigan.
Why do you hate Jim Gaffigan?
I don't think he's funny. He is so annoying to me.
No.
I can't stand him.
Hot Pockets?
Yeah, I hate that bit.
You hate Hot Pockets?
I hate Hot Pockets.
Oh my God! I love Jim Gaffigan.
He's like Jeff Dunham to me, the puppeteer.
I like him.
He's number one.
I like him. No, he's not number one. But I do like him. The puppeteer. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he used YouTube so effectively.
Yeah.
Because for a long time he was like, nobody can have the right. Nobody can. Remember, it used to be, don't film my shows.
Uh-huh.
Then he was like, why don't I put it out there? And he took off because he did like. Who was that guy? Like he did the old man. He was.
I can't even remember that.
There was a terrorist character that he did. But that. Yeah, you don't like either one of those. I think Jim Gaffigan's hilarious. How about Brian Regan? I could put them.
He's the exact same.
I love him.
I cannot stand him.
I love him.
Not a fan of Regan.
You don't like Brian Regan?
No, man.
You know why you don't. They're very thoughtful.
Maybe maybe that's what it is.
They talk about their family.
Yeah,
I love Brian Regan.
I don't know why. I'm just not a fan of like mainly clean people.
Yeah, well, they're clean.
Not a big clean comedy guy.
I like clean. In fact, I do think there's something to the fact that you can make people laugh.
You're right.
Clean.
It's probably tougher. It's like being a Christian rapper.
I think
like it's very tough.
Yeah.
To just focus on one thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So who's your number three?
Number three, Bill Burr.
Great.
Love Bill Burr, man.
Very, very funny.
That angry northern thing that he does is just wonderful.
I put him on my, like, others receiving votes.
Yeah.
I really like him a lot. I think he's really funny and also pretty smart when some of the stuff he says.
Very smart,
I mean, he'll make some comments, like, on both sides of political issues that I think are really smart.
Did you ever see the Philly rant that he did?
No.
He was at a comedy festival in Philly. And they were like giving I don't know why I want to say it was Bob Saget who went before him. They were giving him a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out and for his entire time just talked crap to the audience. Did not do a single joke.
Really?
Just bashed the audience for 35 minutes.
Well, he's good enough to do that.
And it was amazing.
He is really, really good, Bill Burr. Now, my number three is George Carlin, who long ago passed away. He's really smart. And he would do – I saw him once in the audience. And he had like he was working out a new HBO special, so he had little note cards and stuff. And he would stop in the middle and say, oh, I messed that one up. And, and he was trying to get it right. And I thought, that's weird that he was doing that.
And
you know, but
I think that's a lot of comedy that people don't see.
Yeah.
It's like these big guys trying to work out special. That's how it is. Like when they're not on TV doing stuff, they're working stuff out.
I know.
You know,
I read George Carlin's book. He was really good. He knew his stuff and was funny and also, again, made you think.
Yes.
And I really liked him. Wasn't horribly dirty. Could be dirty. I mean, The Seven Dirty Words was one of his all-time greats.
Yeah, that was revolutionary
comedy. And he was phenomenal from the 60s through the 90s, you know, and then died too young, really. Yeah. I don't know what he was.
He's another one of those ones that I understand his impact, but I just never listened to him.
Yeah.
I need to check him out, though.
Yeah. Well, see, that's like everybody loves Dave Chappelle.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know him that well. I mean, everything I've ever seen him do is funny, but I've seen him do about 5% of his act.
I gotcha.
Same with Chris Rock. Everybody loves Chris Rock, and I've not seen that much of him. But what I know of him, I really like. You know?
Dave Chappelle has this weird ability to disguise his jokes as riffing.
Yeah.
Like where you think that he's just up there talking.
Yeah.
But it's all calculated.
That's a real talent.
Same guy who I have at my number two did that very well.
Who's your number two?
Patrice O'Neill.
I loved him.
Patrice O'Neill is another one of those dudes who you listen to on stage and you go, he is literally just talking.
Yes.
But he knows every single movie he's getting ready to make.
Well, he was phenomenal. He died too young.
Died way too young.
What was he have? What was his?
Diabetes. Yeah.
Awful.
Terrible, man.
And but he was so funny.
His perspective on everything, race, relationships, politics was just amazing.
Really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell he was an absolute pro. Now, of course, my number two is Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
So it brings us to our number one. You're going to hate mine. I know you'll hate it. You know, you'll guess it. You'll
I know
it.
Who it is, and I feel like you know mine as well.
Do I know who your favorite stand-up
comedian? I've mentioned him several times.
We've mentioned him several times?
Yeah.
Chappelle?
Mentioned
him several times.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I never pay attention to you. Who is it?
Who? Louis C.K.
Oh, yes.
Louis C.K.
Another guy who did something bad.
Yes.
He is hilarious. He is hilarious.
I've never seen a bit of his that I did not like.
You know, he exposed himself to women, and later, even when he got canceled, women would say, it's just Louis being Louis.
Louis
they didn't
Louis.
Mind it that much, they said, but he's trying to work his way back, right?
Oh, he's back.
Well, you said he had come back on stage.
He's back. He's done like 4 specials post-cancellation.
Yeah.
He's won a Grammy post-cancellation.
Yeah.
He's touring again. He's doing like the podcast circuit. He's back, I think.
Well, it's impressive, but he's a very, very funny
he's
guy.
Like, he's a comics comic. Yeah. He just knows what to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like your number one is the exact same way.
He's a
comic.
Even
though I'm not a huge fan.
I know you're not a huge fan, but you know who it is.
I think I do, yeah.
Well, who is it?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Of course.
Yes.
Who else?
Yeah.
He's clean.
Yeah.
I think he is, he's so well versed in everything he does. And I heard him say once, some comics will say, well, it's a bad crowd or it's a wrong night, you know, whatever. He's like, nope, if I didn't get him to laugh, it's on me.
It's on him, yes.
And he's like, the material wasn't good enough if I didn't get him to laugh. And I've seen him twice and 2 different shows, and I double over laughing at him about the simplest stuff.
His observational comedy is
what it's about.
It's so pure.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
He's the best ever to do it.
He is, and that's what so many comedians can do, where they take a little everyday something that we all go through, going through the bank teller drive-through or whatever it might be, or just like he did. Jerry Seinfeld, last time I saw him, did 15 minutes on, getting the tickets to come to the show tonight, and it's like, plus we had to see like the 9 o'clock show, and he was like, and I know what you did. You went and got the tickets, and you're like, what time's the show? 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. And it was exactly, it's a very conversation my wife and I had.
Well, I think that's what made Seinfeld so relatable to people was that it was everyday normal crap that was just positioned so well and told so well.
Pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
I think he's really brilliant. I love him. But I like a lot of yours too. All the ones you've brought up are really, really good. I'm hurt that you don't like Jim Gaffigan.
I just never got into him.
How funny he is. And I'm hurt you don't like Brian Regan. Yeah. But I liked all of yours. And I wrote down one more who's like another one that could have made my list, and that's Nate Bargatze, who I really find very funny.
Gotcha.
He's new. You don't like him either.
Not a big fan. Not a big fan.
How can you not?
I don't know.
Nate,
I don't know why he's boring to me.
Oh, I think he's hilarious.
I know. And I like some of his stuff that he does, but overall, he's just kind of boring to me.
I think he's tremendous.
He doesn't have a thing.
No, he doesn't.
I don't know why. He's just a normal white dude.
Exactly. I like normal white dudes. I'm a normal white dude.
Half your list was normal white dudes.
They're all normal white dudes. Look at them. Gaffigan, Carlin, Seinfeld. Yeah. They're normal white dudes. I love Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
he's not a normal white dude.
Yeah.
He's a normal black dude.
Yeah, no.
You know, I just like normal guys.
He's an extraordinary black man.
Is he?
Eddie Murphy is, yeah.
I like regular guys, and that's what I've related to on this list. That's a good top five.
Yeah, love it.
I don't know what we'll do to follow that up. That was an excellent top five.
I love talking comedy. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Well, yeah. It's great. I wish we could sit here and play like examples.
That would be great, yeah.
You could drop that in if it's not breaking some rules.
It may break rules.
That's it. Another great episode of The Square and the Round. Mm-hmm. Tremendous. Okay. Are we doing it again next week? I guess we are.
We can do it again next week.
All right, let's do it again next week. Have a great week, The Square and the Round. Mm-hmm.